الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فلا تظلموا فيهن أنفسكم سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون والسلام على المرسلينوالحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلمOne of the important principles for us to recognize is that inherently we are very weak and unable. Inherently, we are very weak and unable. Number one, human beings are limited in their abilities. Number two, as we spoke about, I think last week, we have this enemy named Shaitan.And his clan, whose sole purpose it is to take us away from our goals. And number three, we have this animal that lives within us called the nafs, which gets easily distracted and tends to drive us to places where we could never imagine that we would find ourselves. So for multiple reasons,We are highly limited in our abilities. The one aspect that allows us to be able to attain our goals and gives us tremendous hope is the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exhibits His mercy upon us. And because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exhibits His mercy upon us, and because we make ourselves Ahlullah, people of Allah,That gives us the ability to overcome all of the limitations that I just mentioned. You can see that where you have people without a connection to their Lord, you can see very quickly their weaknesses become evident, Shaitan's effect becomes evident, and the animalistic desire that's naturally present within all human beings becomes evident.You don't need to do a big study. You can look anywhere in the world and you see where people are disconnected from anything above them and are left to their own whims. You can see the result. But subhanAllah, we've been blessed with this great connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that connection requires that we appreciate and recognize that need and that we leverage that need.So that we can keep wind against our backs. Now, you understand what I mean by that? That, you know, we need as much help, let's put it simply, we need as much help as possible. We need as much help as possible. Now, one of the ways by which we gain help is to understand the times of barakah and the places of barakah, and those act as a wind against our back.To assist us towards our goals. For example, we know that the masjid is a place of barakah. And by coming to the masjid and spending time in the masjid, seeking Allah in the masjid, we overcome our limitations and we advance towards our goals. So, like as human beings, you know, there's two big things that you have to know. You have to know where you are and you have to know what time it is.These are two big categories of information that a person needs. If you know where you are, it helps to guide you along a path. If you know what time it is, it helps you to organize your day. If you didn't know what time it is or what date it is, you'd be very lost. And if you didn't know where you were, you'd be very lost. So similarly in deen, right, we know we need to know where we need to be, which is that the masjid is a place of safety. Outside of the masjid is a place of relative lack of safety. We need to know the times. We know that You know, the time of Fajr is a time of barakah, the time of Maghrib is a time of barakah, etc., etc. And this also provides us with tremendous benefit. Now, I say all of that because it's also important for us to recognize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created certain windows of opportunity, and those windows of opportunity allow us to be able to maximize on our efforts. For example, one of the things which I'm going to speak about today is the whole notion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created months in a year. Allah has created months in a year. And certain of those months are highly beneficial to allow us to be able to achieve our goals. As an example for everybody in the room, I mean, if I asked you or I asked a child in the room, name me one of the Islamic months, I mean, I think the first answer would be the month of Ramadan. Everyone knows the month of Ramadan. Everybody appreciates the month of Ramadan. Even a child can identify the month of Ramadan, even though we don't generally tend to live on the basis of an Islamic calendar. You know, we have a lunar, we have a solar calendar. We follow that to a T. We know school begins in August. We know that school ends in May and June, et cetera, et cetera. But in the context of deen, these months matter. Ramadan is a very special time when shaitan is removed, the nafs is curtailed by fasting, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exhibits tremendous barakah upon the community, which allows people to be able to achieve their goals and to be able to avoid jahannam. So Ramadan matters, and it's very, very important to us that we appreciate that. But beyond Ramadan, we should also recognize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created 12 months, including Ramadan. So, I mean, that's the first point to recognize, that there are 12 months in the Islamic year, in the Islamic calendar, which is, of course, a lunar calendar. And in fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that He has established 12 months in a year. That's in the Quran. You can look that up. That's very easy. In addition, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that among those 12 months, by the way, Allah mentions in the Quran as well, just thinking about the ayah, Allah mentions that there's 12 months, and Allah mentions that these were created from the beginning, that these were established from the beginning, meaning from the beginning of creation, at the time that the heavens and the earth were established, these 12 months were also established. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to mention that four of them are sacred. There are four months in our calendar that are sacred. Now, when we say that there are 4 months that are sacred, what does that mean? It means that in these 4 months, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created an opportunity for the believers historically and now to advance towards their Lord. It means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created a special opportunity in these 4 months for believers to be able to advance towards their Lord. So for us, it's important to appreciate these months so that we can take advantage of these times in order to be able to achieve our goals. Three of the months are sequential. Three of the months are in sequence. The first, I'm not going in any order, but I'm just telling you these three in sequence. Number one, Dhul-Qa'dah. Number two, Dhul-Hijjah. And number three, Muharram. These three are in sequence. Then there's Rajab. We're going to put that on the side for a moment. So you can think about these three as being very special because essentially what happens in these months is that one of the main rulings associated with these months is that there is to be no fighting during these months. And in fact, if you look at the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ and the history of Arabia, you'll find that this principle was something established amongst even the idolaters of Arabia at the time of the Prophet ﷺ and before the time of the Prophet ﷺ. In fact, even from the time of Hazrat Ibrahim ﷺ, that these 3 months are sacred months. Now, of course, there's four, but I'm just talking about three. Right? Number one, Dhul-Qa'dah. Number two, Dhul-Hijjah. And the third, the month of Muharram. Now, what's special about each of these is that what they do is they create a window of protection which allows the Hajj to occur and allows individuals to be able to take advantage of the special opportunity of Hajj. Because if fighting is precluded and prohibited in these particular months, it means that people can go to Hajj, perform Hajj, and come back from Hajj safely. Because you have to remember that at the time of the Prophet ﷺ and before, and even after, There was a lot of tribalism, and there would be highway robbery, this and that. But these months were established as sacred. No one would fight during these months. For us, again, it establishes for us an opportunity. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates something as sacred, it means that there are opportunities for us to be able to advance to our Lord. So what are some of the things that we need to consider, in particular about the sacred months, and more specifically about the month in which we find ourselves, which is the month of Muharram? Well, first of all, just considering all of the sacred months, it's encouraged to increase good and to decrease sin. It's encouraged to increase good and decrease sin. So in general, it's very important as Muslims that we're cognizant of where we are. We can't lose our bearing. We must always know what month it is. So if I said to you, what's the month right now? Everybody in the room should be able to tell me that this is the month of Muharram. That this is the month of Muharram. And in fact, you should also know that this is the 9th of Muharram, and tomorrow is the 10th of Muharram. Well, we can say that Muharram's begun, because you know the night comes before the day. That's a separate discussion. But essentially, the 10th of Muharram has begun. So, with that, we should appreciate that, number one, when we find ourselves in these sacred months, we should be increasing our good deeds. The wind is at our back. We should take that and we should run with it. You know, it's like riding a bicycle downhill. It's like running a race, but you're going downhill. It's an opportunity to take advantage and to gain speed and to not burn too much energy to reach our goals. So whenever we find ourselves in the sacred month, in these sacred months, we should all make an effort to leverage the opportunity that Allah provides, number one. Number two, we should avoid sin to the best of our ability, of course in general, but in particular in the sacred months. Because just as good deeds are increased in reward and made easier in the sacred months, in the same way, bad deeds have an increased negative effect on a person if they're performed in the sacred months. Because it's as if we violated the sanctity established by Allah. It's as if we violated the sanctity established by Allah. Now, in the very beginning, I read a little portion of the ayah that I've actually been talking about all the way from the very beginning. فَلَا تَظْلِمُوا فِيهِنَّ أَنفُسَكُمْ. And do not wrong yourselves in them. And do not wrong yourselves in them. This portion of the ayah is specifically in reference to the sacred months. It's in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us in the Quran, do not wrong yourselves in the sacred months. And how can a person wrong themselves? By leaving good and pursuing sin. So we should be utterly careful to establish our guard in these particular months. And of course, we find ourselves in the middle of Muharram, correct? So that's why this is particularly relevant. And I'm going to make it more relevant as we move along. But we should be very cognizant that in these months, we need to make a concerted effort to identify the mistakes and sins that plague us. And we need to leverage the sanctity of these months by asking Allah to give us protection and to keep us from the battle of nafs and shaitan. Just as fighting is precluded in these months, in the same way we ask for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help so that we don't have to battle with nafs and shaitan during these particular months. And this is even worth memorizing. فَلَا تَظْلِمُوا فِيهِنَّ أَنفُسَكُمْ. We should just remind ourselves and recite this so that it becomes a mantra, a reminder that we should not be wronging ourselves. And if we're ever challenged with a mistake, we use this statement to strengthen our resolve to avoid those things which plague us. Now, that's sort of a general discussion about the sacred months. But in particular, we need to also recognize that we are in a very special month of the Islamic calendar, which is called Muharram. A very special month of the Islamic calendar, which is called Muharram. In fact, in the book of Imam Muslim, rahmatullah alayh, in the book of Imam Muslim, There's a narration from the Prophet ﷺ describing the benefits of fasting in the month of Muharram. And in that description, the Prophet ﷺ says, Shahrullah al-Muharram. Shahrullah, I'm just taking a very tiny piece, you know, a few words of this. Shahrullah al-Muharram. The month of Allah, Muharram. So look at the descriptor that the Prophet ﷺ used for Muharram. He called it the month of Allah. And then again, there's some details associated which we're going to hear about in a moment. So this highlights for us, again, the power of this month. Now, we're going to walk through the history of this month a little bit, just so that we can understand some of the benefits and opportunities that are available to us, and some of the strength and importance of the wind that's present at our backs. So first of all, let's go back to the time of the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam and just remind ourselves that there are four sacred months. Three of them are established centered around the Hajj, and Muharram happens to be the third of those, and it's tied into the sanctity of the Hajj as a whole. So when the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam establishes the Hajj, at the same time, there's a reestablishment of the sanctity of these months, and that sanctity of those months had been present even before the coming of the Prophet alayhi salam and was present amongst the Arabs at that time. Even though they had filled the Kaaba with idols, they still recognized the sanctity of these particular months. So that's the first point to recognize, that there's a history and that goes all the way back. Honestly, it goes back to the beginning of creation, because remember I said that if you pick up the Quran and read about the fact that Allah states that there are 12 months, that the number of months for Allah is 12, and that then there are four that are sacred, and that we shouldn't wrong ourselves. In that description, it's also stated that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala established 12 months from the time that the earth and the heavens were established, meaning from the beginning. So this is something that was also present and established in pre-Islamic Arabia. Now, when the Prophet ﷺ eventually was present amongst the people of the Quraysh, interestingly, the people of the Quraysh, the idolaters of Mecca, they used to fast on the 10th of Muharram. They used to fast on the 10th of Muharram. And we don't know exactly why they would do this, but we do know that the Prophet ﷺ participated in that fasting. Imam Qurtubi, rahmatullah alayh, he makes a suggestion that perhaps this was something that was established at the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam, because that would explain why the people of Mecca were continuously doing it, even before Islam had eventually conquered them. So anyway, the point remains that the people at the time of the pre-Islamic Arabia, in particular the Quraysh, used to fast on the 10th of Muharram. The Prophet ﷺ also fasted on the 10th of Muharram, and it was something that was recommended. Something that was recommended because the Prophet ﷺ used to do it. That continued all the way until the Prophet ﷺ eventually made the hijrah. Now, interestingly, when the Prophet ﷺ made the hijrah, it was just around the time of Muharram, a little bit before. And so when the Prophet ﷺ arrives in Medina, he finds that the Jews of Medina are fasting on the 10th of Muharram. So the Prophet ﷺ inquires, why are they fasting on the 10th of Muharram? And when he inquires why they are fasting on the 10th of Muharram, he is told that this is the day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved Musa and his people from Fir'aun. This is the day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved Musa from Fir'aun, alayhi salam. And so what happens, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Musa is more dear to us. Now again, I'm just paraphrasing. Musa is more, alayhi salam, is more dear to us. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells the companions to also fast on that day. So what happens? The Islamic community now has its first established fast, because there's no Ramadan at this time. Ramadan actually gets established the next year, which we're going to get to in a moment. So now the Muslim community has its first established fast, which is the fast of the 10th of Muharram. The next year, which is now the second year after the Hijrah, or the second year of the Hijrah, the next year, Ramadan becomes mandated through the Quran, as you're all aware. And when Ramadan is mandated, the Prophet ﷺ makes the fasting of the 10th of Muharram supererogatory or something encouraged. And he continues to fast on the 10th of Muharram, but it's no longer stated, you know, with the same emphasis because Ramadan has now sort of taken that space of emphasis in our deen. And the Prophet ﷺ continuously fasts on the 10th of Muharram throughout his entire time in Medina. And some very special statements are made concerning the 10th of Muharram, even beyond the initial statement where the Prophet ﷺ clearly establishes that yes, Musa ﷺ was saved by Pharaoh on this day, and yes, this is a day of fasting, and yes, Musa belongs to us because it's the brother of the Prophet ﷺ and our brother in the broader aspect of deen. So what does the Prophet ﷺ say concerning Muharram? Number one, the Prophet ﷺ says that the best fast, actually not fast, fasts, plural. In the hadith, it's the word is plural. It's in the book of Imam Muslim if you want to look it up. The best fast after the fast of Ramadan. After the fast of Ramadan are the fasts of Shahrullah al-Muharram. This is where that word came from. You know, I gave you this phrase earlier, now I'm filling in the blank. Are the fasts of the month of Allah al-Muharram. So from this we learn that the Prophet ﷺ encouraged fasting in the month of Muharram. The Prophet ﷺ encouraged fasting generally in the month of Muharram, stating that it was the month of Allah and that the best fasts, aside from the fast of Ramadan, are those fasts that are performed in Muharram. So that's one major benefit we gain. Another important thing that we learn about Muharram, the Prophet ﷺ mentions that fasting the 10th of Muharram expiates 1 year of sin from the past. The Prophet ﷺ mentions that fasting the 10th of Muharram expiates 1 year of past sins. So that's another benefit that we gain. So we got a benefit of a general principle, which is that fasting in general during the 10th of during Muharram as a whole is beneficial. But then beyond that, the Prophet ﷺ hones in on the 10th of Muharram and explains that a person who fasts on the 10th of Muharram gains the benefit of having 1 year's worth of sin expiated. Again, authentic narration. Now then furthermore, the Prophet ﷺ continues and also tells us another piece of important information, which if my recollection is correct, it's in the book of Imam Ahmad, in which the Prophet ﷺ says that on this day, yani the 10th of Muharram, Nuh alayhi salam, his ship banked after the flood. So you know, of course, there was a big flood at the time of Nuh alayhi salam. Everybody knows that. Nuh alayhi salam was in a ship, but the ship eventually docked at a certain point when the flood was over. And so on the 10th of Muharram, Nuh alayhi salam's ship landed at the mountain. So now we basically two major historical things that happened on the 10th of Muharram. Number one, Nuh alayhi salam's ship docks. So the flood is concluded in that regard. Number two, Musa alayhi salam is saved from Pharaoh. So what is the big picture there? What is the big, if you had to give a theme here, salvation? Good wins over evil. There's a huge theme of salvation that's associated with the 10th of Muharram. Now, then the Prophet continues by, in another narration, there's another benefit that we can sort of draw here, and that is that the Prophet said something relatively interesting, And this one is slipping me. Baihaqi. This is in the book of Imam Baihaqi. And interestingly, it's interesting narration. The Prophet ﷺ says that the individual who spends generously on their family on the 10th of Muharram, the individual who spends generously on their family on the 10th of Muharram, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be generous with them for a year. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be generous with them for a year. And interestingly, there's a quote under this explication of this hadith. One of the famous scholars, he said, I tried this for 50 years. I tested this for 50 years and found it to be accurate. Meaning, when I spent on my family on the 10th of Muharram, I found there to be so much barakah in that I then appreciated the generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the full year after that. So again, it's a time of barakah for making expenses. I don't know. You can decide. You know, I don't want to sort of lock this in any way. But you know, you can think, maybe if I have to make a purchase or we have to do something for the family or for the house or whatever it might be, you might want to center some of that thinking by waiting for these special times like the 10th of Muharram, where this type of generosity and spending on the family can catch the tailwind of the barakah and bring barakah into the rizq that a person receives for a full year. So it's a family planning type thing, you know, a family matter, let's put it that way. But it's another benefit. It's another important thing to recognize. Now, these are basically, you know, some general principles concerning the 10th of Muharram. And the last point that I'll make is that near the very end of the Prophet ﷺ's life, one of the companions came to the Prophet ﷺ and mentioned the notion that the fasting of the 10th of Muharram, which was being done by the Muslims, was not uniquely identifiable to Islam. The fasting of the 10th of Muharram, which was being done by the Muslims, was not uniquely identifiable to Islam. Why was it not unique to Islam? Because we learned earlier that this was also being done by the Jews of Medina. And so the companion made a suggestion that we make this fast uniquely identified with Islam by adding a day. So the Prophet ﷺ suggested that he would add a day if he saw another year. Now, of course, we know that the Prophet ﷺ subsequently passed from this life. And so that additional day was never performed by the Prophet ﷺ, but it was something that the Prophet ﷺ expressed a desire to do and agreed with the principle of making this fast unique. So hence, this is why you find that it's a strong sunnah and something that's encouraged for us to fast on the 10th of Muharram, which is tomorrow, by the way, which is why I'm going into this lengthy discussion, for one of the reasons why we're going into this lengthy discussion. It is highly encouraged for a Muslim to fast on the 10th of Muharram, but at the same time, it's also encouraged for them to add an additional day, preferably the 9th of Muharram. So that would have been today. But if the 9th's not possible, then the 11th, because then the 10th and the 11th would be 2 days, which would make that unique. So, generally speaking, people have the option. Well, first of all, generally speaking, it's highly encouraged to fast the 10th. Then, if they would like to fulfill this additional sunnah of an extra day, they can do so by preferably adding the 9th, and if not possible, adding the 11th. So that would be today, or the addition of Sunday, with the focus being tomorrow, Saturday. Again, what's the benefit of fasting on the 10th, which is Saturday, tomorrow? The expiation of 1 year's worth of prior sin and the connection with all of the great events that have occurred on this day. You know, we are not a people that don't have a tradition. We are the most deep-rooted. I know when you live in a time and place that we live in, it seems like we're living in another world and the rest of the world lives in another way. But the reality is that the rest of the world is living on today's fads and yesterday's fashions, and we live in a very deep-rooted tradition that exists from the time of Adam alayhi salam all the way to the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are part of this long, deep-rooted tradition. We have the most established tradition. We are not the newcomers on the block. We are the deep, we are a deep-rooted community. And so when we tie ourselves into, for example, acknowledging and exhibiting gratitude to Allah for the fact that Musa alayhi salam was saved from Fir'aun, or acknowledging and tying exhibiting gratitude towards Allah for the fact that the ship of Nuh alayhi salam was eventually able to dock, that those are all things that are part of us. They tie us into a much broader, much deeper, much greater tradition, and it is those roots that keep us very, very firm and stable when the winds of change tend to blow and, you know, they randomly distribute who knows what, where. So it is an honor and a privilege to even know that this was the day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose to save Musa from such an evil of Fir'aun. And it is an honor and a privilege to even know that this is the day that Nuh alayhi salam's ship docked. And so we fast, of course, mimicking and emulating Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and seeking the benefits that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated for us, because we are more in need of those benefits than anyone. We're more in need of forgiveness of the past year's worth of sins than anyone. But at the same time, it allows us to leverage the barakah of salvation. Because remember that Fir'aun, the victory over Fir'aun and the docking of Nuh alayhi salam's ship, these are major acts of salvation that occurred for humanity. These occurred for all of humanity. So for us to be able to relate to these events is an enormous blessing and something that we should always be cognizant of, and something that we exhibit gratitude and an ability to tie into by fasting on that 10th of Muharram. So this, again, is something that is highly encouraged, something that we should leverage, something that we should use, take the winds at our back. Now, the other thing that I want to mention concerning the 10th of Muharram, which ties into what I've already discussed, is that it is also a time of rejuvenation. It is a time of rejuvenation. It is not coincidental, and maybe I didn't say this earlier, but I'll say it now. It is not coincidental that Muharram is the first month of the Islamic calendar. Muharram is the first month of the Islamic calendar. Now, let's just think about this in the context of the culture in which we live in today. You know, if you talk to people in December, at the end of December or the beginning of January, you cannot but help get swept up in the whole concept of resolutions. What do people do when the year begins, when the new year comes? People make resolutions, right? You'll see, people will say, I'm going to lose weight. And I'll tell you, I mentioned this earlier today in Jummah, but I'll just repeat it. If you went to a, Weight Watchers store, and you asked them, show me the number of people that sign up for your plan and give it to me by month, I guarantee you that December and January, beginning of January, end of December, will be the highest number of registrations because people make new resolutions. When there's a new year, people feel inherently a desire to try to make change and try to improve themselves. And they reflect on the past because they're kind of closing an old year, an old chapter, and they look forward to the future. And they think, hey, I want to lose weight. This is a great time. I'm going to make a resolution. I bet you if you go to any of these health clubs anywhere around here and ask them when is the highest number of new signups, they will tell you that it occurs at the end of December, beginning of January, because people make resolutions. Go to any fitness store and ask them when they sell most of their equipment. It's going to be similar, end of December, beginning of January, because of the wind of those resolutions. And I mean, I think everybody in this room also probably experiences that. A year ends and a new year begins, and we all kind of in our minds sort of tie things up from the old year and start thinking about how we're going to handle the new year. Maybe you clean your desk. Maybe you, you know, make some changes at home. Maybe you clean out the closet, whatever it might be. It's natural for people to seek renewal at the close of a year so that they can wrap up the prior year and they can begin the new year in a better way. It's human nature. And subhanAllah, the same applies for the month of Muharram. Now, interestingly, if you go back in our history, there's nothing that establishes the month of Muharram as the first month. Remember that we didn't even have a calendar. We had months. We knew there were 12. They had names. But we didn't even have a calendar until the time of when? Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu established the calendar, right? And established that the calendar is going to be at the time of the Hijrah will be the first year, because there was a need for dates at that time. They were running an empire. And when you run an empire, you need to have dates to say, we did this, or did you respond to this, or when did you send this, or when are we going to do that? So this need for dates arose, right? And, calendar dates. And when the need for calendar dates arose, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu sat with the companions, and they established that the calendar should begin with the Hijrah. And at the same time, they began to talk about, well, what should be the first month? Because there's no numbering of the month. There's no first month or last month. There's just this sequence of months. And as a group, they made a decision that the first month should be the month of Muharram, because it is a month of renewal. In particular, a renewal from what? From Hajj. People go for Hajj. That's going to be, you know, a month. It acts as a renewal. It gives people a new life. It gives people an opportunity to close out a lifetime and to restart anew. And so then it was decided that the month of Muharram would be the first month of the Islamic calendar. So it was partly due to this, partly due to the fact that the Hijrah has some relationship with also this time of Muharram to some extent. But the point remains that it is a time of renewal. So why I mentioned that is because as we enter into this very special day of the 10th of Muharram, it's not only about fasting. It's not only about fasting. It's about sitting down and taking account of what I did over the last year. What did I do during the last year with my life? How did I live my life? What did I accomplish? What goals did I have? Are there times that I can be proud of? Are there times when I was lacking? And then to take that, to add the fast into it, use the fast to erase the negative of the past year and make resolutions this month for the upcoming year. And that there is a power, there is a force, there is a wind that's present at our backs that we should leverage, that renewal, that rejuvenation of Hajj. And I've said this so many times before, barakah arises before the end of an act, before the beginning of an act, and it tends to then perpetuate even after the act. So the barakah of Hajj still remains with us as we enter the month of Muharram, because it gives us an opportunity to renew ourselves. So this is a month where we sit down and we think, what do I want to do for the next year? How do I want to spend my time? What are going to be my goals? How often do I want to be in the masjid? How much am I going to be dedicating my time to the Quran? What relationships am I going to try to improve? What mistakes am I going to try to finally detach from my back? All of these are very, very important. And I'll tell you that, you know, every year we have this annual seminar, this spiritual development and excellence seminar, I shouldn't say every year. We held it, last year and then the year before. So it's something relatively new. But I have this intention in my mind to continuously offer this annually and to continually improve it annually. And so when I was thinking about possible dates, one of the great dates to be able to have it, or one of the great times to have it, and my intention, hopefully, inshallah, I hope I'm able to maintain this, is to keep it in the month of Muharram. Because when we talk about spiritual development and when we talk about achieving excellence, it's essentially a renewal. Because the purpose of that gathering is for everyone who's seeking spiritual development to join, or for those who have been regular in spiritual development to be able to recommit and rejuvenate their intention. So alhamdulillah, we got lucky. I shouldn't say lucky, but subhanAllah, it just so happens that we're offering that seminar is tomorrow. You know, it's on a Saturday, and it so happens to be the 10th of Muharram. So alhamdulillah, there'll be hopefully some additional barakah in that, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that we are all in need of that, and I in particular am in need of that wind at my back to be able to advance our efforts of deen. But anyway, the general principle remains, and it's not tied into this particular event. I happen to just share that as a tangent. The general principle remains that just like a student, I see some students in the room, and I can tell you that every student, or all of you who were once students, knows that when you begin a semester, everybody thinks the same thing. I'm going to get straight A's. At the beginning of a semester, people are very excited. At the beginning of a school year in particular, people are very excited. Wow, I don't have to worry about all the stuff at the back. I'm going to get straight A's. In fact, I met one brother outside. He knows who he is. I asked him how his school is going, and he said his school just started, and he said to me, this is a new year. I'm going to do this, this, and this, and I'm not going to do this. And subhanAllah, it's a natural tendency in human beings. I mean, when he said this to me, I'm not shocked. What's wrong with you? What are you talking about? No, it's a natural tendency within human beings that there is a need for closure because it's too much to bear all the weight. You know, if we had to constantly carry every grade from first grade all the way to second grade to third grade to high school to college to professional school, we can't bear those burdens. One of the greatest things about college is that it allows you to erase high school. One of the greatest things about the professional school is it allows you to erase college. One of the great things about getting your first job is that all of that stuff goes into the past. Nobody asks you what was your GPA after you've worked three jobs. They ask you what was your last job. We all need to rejuvenate ourselves. We all need to reconnect ourselves and reaffirm ourselves with our goals. So we must, now see, I say this because we have these notions established in the society in which we live culturally. So we do it for a school year. We do it for a new job. We do it for the New Year's Day. But those don't carry. If you feel the force and power at that time, then multiply it and apply it to the month of Muharram. We as Muslims should never be lost in our days. Lost in our days means we have no clue. Where am I? Is it Muharram? Is it, you know, we just know Ramadan and the rest of the months, you know, we don't even know what's going on. Muslims are not lost in their days. They understand the power of each time and each place, and they leverage that and take advantage of that. And that is something that we should maximize on. So again, in summary, what are the things that we want to take care of in this particular month? Number one, do as much good as possible, because this is the month of Allah, and there is benefit in doing as much good as possible. Number two, avoid bad, avoid sin, right? But that's also established from what we talked about earlier from the Quran. Number three, increase fasting during this month. Number three, increase fasting during this month. Number four, in particular, try to hit the fast of the 10th of Muharram to expiate the prior year's worth of sin. Number five, add a day if possible, the 9th or the 11th, to that. Number four, number five. Number six, be cognizant of the fact that this is a time of renewal in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in particular on the 10th of Muharram, saved Musa alayhi salam from Fir'aun and saved Nuh alayhi salam from the difficulty of his time. And then, additionally, beyond that, recognize that even a good deed of being generous with our families on the 10th of Muharram is so appreciated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the individual who does so gains generosity and barakah in their wealth for the upcoming year. So it's a time to spend. It's a time to spend on our immediate family, and it's a time to spend on our Islamic family, which basically means all the responsibilities that we have of the orphans and the needy and the people that are part of our community that don't necessarily have all of the bounties that we have, they should all be considered. And we should think on the 10th of Muharram, what expenditures am I going to make so that I can attract the generosity and the bounties and the barakah of my Lord? It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity. And it's not a time to be tight. It's a time to open up a little bit and bring some barakah into our wealth. So khair, I've said a lot more than I probably should have. The point remains is that we are weak people who are in need of these opportunities. We are always grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for these opportunities, and we should leverage them to the best of our ability. وآخر التعوانة أن الحمد لله رب العالمين